Chapter 3, The Third Vision. Brethren, this is the vision I had. After much fasting and asking the Lord to show me the revelation which he promised to show me through the old lady, on that very night, she appeared to me and said to me,
"Since you are so deficient, yet eager to know all things, go into the field where you are farming, and I shall appear to you at about the fifth hour and show you what you must see."
Then I asked her a question, "Lady, into what part of the field am I to go?"
"Wherever you please,"
she answered. I chose a beautiful and secluded spot. But before I could speak and tell her of the spot, she said,
"I shall come wherever you please."
Therefore, brethren, I went into the field and counted the hours, and came to the place where I had told her to meet me at. And I saw an ivory couch set up. On the couch was placed a linen cushion, and on top, a coverlet of finely woven linen was spread out. When I saw these objects arranged in this manner, but that there was not a person in the place, I was seized with terror and began shuddering. My hair stood on end, and unreasoning fear came upon me because I was alone. Therefore, when I came to myself and took courage and recalled God's glory, I fell to my knees. Once more, as on the former occasion, I confessed my sins to the Lord. At this point, she came with six young men, whom I had also seen before, and stood by me. She listened as I prayed and confessed my sins to the Lord. Then she touched me and said,
"Hermas, cease praying about all your sins. Instead, ask for righteousness so that you may take a portion of it to your household."
Then she raised me up by the hand and led me to the couch and said to the young men,
"Go and build."
After the young men had departed and, when we were alone, she said to me,
"Sit here."
I said to her, "Lady, let the elders be seated first."
"Do as I tell you,"
she said.
"Sit down."
Then, when I wished to sit down on the right side, she did not allow me, but with her hand motioned me to sit on the left. As I was reflecting and brooding about this, that she would not allow me to sit on the right, she said to me,
"Are you grieved, Hermas? The place at the right belongs to others, those who have already been approved by God and have suffered for the sake of the name. There still remains much for you to do before you can sit with them. But persist in your single-mindedness, as you are now doing, and you will sit with them and with all who do what they have done and who endure what they have endured."
"What have they endured?" I said.
"Listen,"
she said.
"Scourgings, prisons, great tribulations, crucifixions, wild beasts, for the sake of the name. For this reason, they are at the right hand of holiness, as well as anyone who suffers for the name. The left side is for the rest. But the same bounty and the same promises are reserved for both those sitting on the right and those sitting on the left. There's only this difference, that those who have suffered and sit at the right enjoy a certain distinction. Now you are eager to sit with those on the right, but your shortcomings are too numerous. But you will be purified of shortcomings, as will all who are single-minded will be purified of all sins up to this day."
With these remarks, she wished to depart. But I fell at her feet and begged her by the Lord to show me the vision she had promised to show me. Therefore, she once again took me by the hand, raised me up, and made me sit on the couch at the left, while she sat down to the right. Then she raised a shining rod and said to me,
"Do you see something great?"
I answered, "Lady, I see nothing." Then she said to me,
"Look, do you not see before you a large tower being built upon the waters with shining square stones?"
Now the tower was being built in the shape of a square by the six young men who had accompanied her. But about 10,000 other men were bringing along stones, some of them out of the depths, others from the land. and they were distributing them to the 6 young men who were taking them and building. All the stones that were dragged out of the depths, they were put into the building just as they were, for they had been shaped to fit right into joint with the other stones. In fact, they fitted so snugly with one another that the line of contact did not show. The structure of the tower appeared to be made of a single stone. Of the other stones, those taken from the dry land, some they threw away, and some they put into the building, while others were broken up and thrown far away from the tower. But there were many other stones lying about the tower that were not being used in the building. For some of them had spots, others had cracks, some were chipped, and others were white and round, unable to fit into the building. Moreover, I saw other stones thrown at a great distance from the tower that fell into the road and did not remain there, but rolled into pathless places. Other stones fell into fire and were burned, while still others fell near water and yet were unable to roll into the water, in spite of their desire to continue rolling and come to the water. After showing me these things, she was in a hurry to depart. I said to her, "Lady, what good is it for me to have seen these things and not to know what they mean?"
"Insistent fellow,"
she said.
"You do wish to know about the tower?"
"Yes, lady," I answered, "in order that I may tell my brothers that upon hearing these things they may know the Lord with great glory." And she said,
"Many will listen, and some will rejoice, but some too will weep. But even the latter, if they listen and repent, will also rejoice. Now let me tell you the parables of the tower. I shall reveal everything to you. And do not trouble me any more about the revelation, since these revelations are at an end. They have been completed. Yet you will not cease asking for revelations, shameless as you are. The tower which you see being built, that is I, the church, who has appeared to you now and on the former occasion. Therefore, ask me whatever you wish about the tower, and I shall reveal it to you, that you may rejoice along with the holy ones."
I said to her, "Lady, since on one occasion you considered me worthy of the whole revelation, reveal it." She said to me,
"Whatever is given to you to be revealed will be revealed. Only let your heart be directed to God, and do not be double-minded about whatever you will see."
Then I asked her, "Lady, why is the tower built upon the waters?" She said,
"Yes, as I told you before, you do inquire persistently. With your inquiries, you are finding the truth. The reason why the tower is built upon the water is this: your life has been and will be saved through water. The tower has been set on a foundation by the word of the omnipotent and glorious name, and it is sustained together by the Master's invisible power."
In answer, I said to her, "Lady, this is a great and marvelous thing. But lady, the young men, the 6 who are building, who are they?"
"These are the holy angels of God, the first to be created, to whom he has handed over his whole creation that they might increase and build up and to govern all creation. By their agency, the building of the tower will be perfected."
"And who are the others who are dragging along stones?"
"These are also God's holy angels, but the former 6 are superior to them. With their help, the tower will be perfected, and all will rejoice together around the tower and give glory to God, because the building of the tower has been perfected."
I spoke and asked her, "Lady, I would like to know what is the destination of the stones and their meaning." In answer, she said to me,
"Not because you are more worthy to receive the revelation than all the rest of men, for others are ahead of you and worthier, and it would be right for them to have the revelation. But that God's name may be glorified, the revelation has been made and will be made to you for the sake of the double-minded, and those who debate in their hearts whether these things will be or not. Tell them that all these things are true, and none of them are beside the truth. All of them are thoroughly secure, firm, and established upon a strong foundation. Now, let me tell you about the stones that go into the building. The square white stones that fit exactly into their joints, these are the apostles, overseers, teachers, and ministers who walk in accordance with the reverence of God, who have overseen and taught and ministered the elect of God in purity and sanctity. Some of them have fallen asleep, and some are still living. Now, they have always been in mutual agreement. They are at peace with one another and listen to one another. For this reason, their joints fit exactly into the building of the tower.
But who are the stones which were dragged from the depths, which were laid into the tower, whose joints fit together with the rest of the stones previously placed in the building?
These are the ones who have suffered for the name of the Lord.
Lady, please let me know who are the other stones taken from the dry land, she said.
Those going into the building without being cut are the ones whom the Lord has approved, because they walk in the straight way of the Lord and strictly observe His commandments.
And who are those that are being brought and placed in the building?
These are the ones who are young in the faith and are faithful. But they are admonished by the angels to do good, and for this reason no evil was discovered in them.
Who are the ones whom they rejected and threw away?
Those are the sinners who wish to repent. They have not been thrown at a great distance from the tower, because if they do repent, they will still be useful in the building. Now, those who are about to repent will be strong in the faith when they actually do, provided they repent now, while the tower is in the process of being built. But if the building has been completed, there will no longer be a place for them, but they will be cast out. Their only advantage is that they now lie close to the tower. Do you wish to know who those are that have been broken up into fragments and thrown far from the tower? They are the sons of lawlessness. Their belief was hypocrisy, and wickedness in its fullness did not depart from them. Therefore, because of their wickedness, they have no salvation, since they are of no use for the building. Therefore, they have been broken into fragments and thrown far from the tower because of the Lord's anger and because they provoked Him to anger. The many other stones which you see lying around without going into the building are the stones with spots, who knew the truth, but failed to persist in it and did not continue to adhere to the holy ones. Consequently, they are useless.
Who are the stones with cracks in them?
These are the ones who hold things against each other in their hearts and are not at peace with one another. They have only a semblance of peace, but when they separate from one another, discord remains in their hearts. These are the cracks in the stones. The stones that are chipped are believers. They are righteous for the most part, but a certain measure of lawlessness lingers in them. Hence, they are chipped and not perfect in every respect.
But lady, who are the white round stones that do not fit into the building? She answered and said,
how long are you going to be foolish and senseless? All these questions, do you not understand anything? These are the ones who have the faith, but also the riches of this world. Therefore, when persecution comes, they deny their Lord because of their riches and their business affairs.
I answered and said to her, lady, when will they be useful for the building?
Whenever the riches that lead their hearts astray have been torn from them,
she said,
then will they be useful to God. Just as the round stone cannot be made square unless portions be cut off and cast away, so also the rich in this world cannot be made useful for the Lord unless their riches have been cut out of them. Learn from your own experience. When you were rich, you were useless, but now you are useful and a help to life. Be useful to God, for you are taken from the same stones. The other stones which you see thrown far from the tower, falling on the road and rolling off it into pathless places, are those who have believed. But because of their double-mindedness, they have deviated from their true road, because they thought they could find a better one. Therefore, they wander in distress, walking about in pathless places. But those who fall into fire and are burned are the ones who have completely apostatized from the living God, into whose hearts repentance no longer enters because of their unbridled lust and the impious acts that they put into execution. Do you wish to know who are the other stones that have fallen near the waters but cannot roll into them? These are the ones who have heard the word and wish to be immersed in the name of the Lord, but then change their mind when they recall the purity demanded by the truth and return to their evil desires.
With this, she finished her explanation of the tower. But unabashed, I asked her another question. Is repentance possible for all these stones that have been thrown away and do not fit into the tower? And will they still have a place in the tower?
They can repent, but they cannot fit into this tower,
she said.
They will be laid into another and much inferior place, but only after they have been chastised and fulfilled the days of their sins. But since they have been partakers of the righteous word, they will be transferred to a different place. And then, only if the thought of repenting for the evil deeds that they have performed comes into their hearts, they will be relieved of their chastisements. But if the thought does not come into their hearts, they will not be saved because of the hardness of heart.
When I ceased asking questions about all these matters, she said to me,
"Do you wish to see something else?"
As I was eager to see more, I was overjoyed at the prospect of seeing visions. She looked at me with a smile and said,
"Do you see seven women around the tower?"
"Yes, lady," I said.
"This tower is being supported by them in accordance with the Lord's command. Now, let me tell you their functions. The first of them, who is clasping her hands together, is called Faith. God's elect are saved through her. The second, who has her garment tucked up and acts with vigor, is called Continence. She is the daughter of Faith. Whoever follows her will be happy in his life because he will abstain from all evil deeds in the assurance that by abstaining from all evil desire, he will inherit eternal life."
"But the others, who are they, lady?"
"They are the daughters one of the other. Their names are Simplicity, Knowledge, Innocence, Reverence, and Love. When you perform all the acts of their mother, then you are able to live."
"Lady," I said, "I would like to know what power each of them possesses."
"You shall be told what kinds of powers they have,"
she said.
"Their powers are regulated by each other, and they follow one another in the order in which they are born. Continence is the daughter of Faith, Simplicity of Continence, Innocence of Simplicity, Reverence of Innocence, Knowledge of Reverence, Love of Knowledge. Their acts, then, are pure, reverent, and divine. Whoever serves them and embraces their acts will have a dwelling in the tower along with God's holy ones."
Then I asked her whether the consummation of the ages had arrived yet. And she cried out with a loud voice, saying,
"Foolish man, do you not see that the tower is still being built? Whenever the building of the tower is completed, that will be the end, but I assure you it will be built up quickly. Do not ask me any more questions. Let this reminder and the renewal of your souls be sufficient for you and for the holy ones. But this revelation has not been made for you alone, but that you may make it known to everyone after 3 days, for you must understand this first. My command, Hermas, is for you to speak all the words I am about to tell you into the ears of the faithful. Thus, when they hear and do them, they will be cleansed from their wickedness, you along with them. My children, listen to me. I brought you up in great simplicity and innocence and reverence because of the Lord's mercy. He instilled righteousness into you, that you might be justified and sanctified from all wickedness and all perversity. But you did not wish to desist from your wickedness. Now, therefore, listen to me. Be at peace with one another. Look after one another. Bear each other's burdens. Furthermore, do not partake of God's creatures superabundantly alone, but also give a share to those who have less. For some people, from the abundance of their food, bring on sickness to their flesh and weaken it, while others who do not have food are weakened in the flesh from lack of sufficient food, and their body is ruined. Therefore, this failure to share is harmful to you who have abundance and fail to distribute to those who are needy. Give heed to the judgment that is to come. Seek out those who are hungry as long as the tower is not yet finished, you who have a superabundance. For after the completion of the tower, you will be wishing to do good and will not have an opportunity. Now then, you who pride yourselves on your wealth, take care lest the indigent groan at any time and their groan mount up to the Lord, and you and your goods shall be shut out from the door of the tower. At this point, it is to you, the elders of the church, and to those in the first seats that I speak. Do not be like poisoners. They carry their poison in boxes, whereas you carry venom and poison in your hearts. You are hardened and do not wish to cleanse your hearts. You do not wish to mix together your wisdom in a clean heart that you may obtain mercy from the great King. Watch then, my children, lest these dissensions deprive you of your life. How do you expect to discipline the elect of the Lord if you have no discipline yourselves? Therefore, discipline yourselves and live in peace with one another, that I, for my part, may take my stand before the Father and joyfully give an account of you to your Lord.
Now, when she finished speaking with me, the 6 young men who were builders came and took her to the tower, while 4 others took up the couch and also brought it to the tower. I did not see their faces because they were turned away from me. As she was departing, I asked her to give me a revelation about the 3 forms in which she had appeared to me.
You must ask another for a revelation about this matter.
In the former vision last year, brethren, she had appeared to me as very old and seated on a chair. In the second vision, her countenance was younger, but her flesh and hair were old, and she had spoken to me standing up, though she looked more cheerful than before. But in the third vision, she was youthful in every respect and of surpassing beauty. Only her hair was that of an old lady, and towards the end, she was quite joyful and seated on a couch. I was very deeply depressed because I wished to understand the revelation. Now in a night vision, I beheld the old woman speaking to me.
Every question requires humility of spirit. Therefore fast, and you will receive from the Lord what you ask.
Therefore I fasted for a day, and that same night, a young man appeared to me, who said to me,
Why do you always ask for instant revelations in your prayer? Be careful, lest you may injure your flesh by heavy requests. The present revelations are all you need. Can you see greater revelations than those you have seen?
In answer, I said to him, Sir, I am only asking for a revelation complete in every detail about the 3 forms of the old lady. In answer, he said to me,
How long are you going to be without perception? It is your double-mindedness that makes you so, and the failure to have your heart directed to the Lord.
Again, I said in answer, Well, we shall know this more accurately with your help, sir.
I shall tell you about the 3 forms that you are inquiring about.
He said,
Why did she appear to you as an old woman sitting on a chair in the first vision? Because your spirits were old and already wasting away, and have become infirm from your softness and double-mindedness. For just as old men, no longer having hope of renewing their youth, have nothing else to look forward to except their final rest, so you also, weakened by temporal affairs, have surrendered to indifference instead of casting your cares upon the Lord. Yes, your spirit has been broken, and you have grown old with your griefs.
Sir, I would like to know why she was sitting in a chair.
Because every weak person sits in a chair on account of his weakness, that his weak body might find support. Here you have the meaning of the first vision. In the second vision, you saw her standing with a younger countenance, and more cheerful in comparison with the first time, although her flesh and hair were those of an old woman. Now listen to this parable also. When an old man, who has already given up hope because of his weakness and poverty, and waits for nothing more except the last day of his life, suddenly receives an inheritance, he rises at the news, is exceedingly happy, and gathers strength. He no longer lies prone, but stands up, and his spirit is rejuvenated, though it was broken by his former practices. He no longer sits, but takes courage. In the same way, all of you were also rejuvenated when you heard the revelation which the Lord revealed to you. Because the Lord has had mercy on you and has renewed your spirits, you have put aside your weaknesses, strength returned to you, and you were empowered in the faith, while the Lord, at the sight of your strengthening, rejoiced. For this reason, he made clear to you the building of the tower, and will clarify other matters, provided you live wholeheartedly at peace with one another. In the third vision, you saw her as a younger lady, beautiful and joyous, and her appearance too was beautiful. For a man immediately forgets former sorrows when good news comes in the midst of grief. He excludes everything except the good news he has heard. He is strengthened to do good from then on. In his joy, his spirit is rejuvenated. So all of you also receive rejuvenated spirits at the sight of these benefits. Now, the fact that you saw her sitting on a couch means the position is secure. For the couch had 4 feet and was securely fixed, just as the world is supported by 4 elements. Therefore, those who repent thoroughly will become young and firmly established. I mean, those who repent with their whole heart. Here, you have the complete revelation. Do not ask for anything more about a revelation, but if anything is necessary, it will be revealed to you.